AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1. Our forecast does call for some sunshine today. We'll see a high around 61. Easterly winds at around 5 to 10, becoming, well, turning around to the south later on, 10 to 15. We will see wind gusts to 25 miles per hour. Increase in clouds tonight and an overnight low near 35. Then for tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 56 for a high. Do have a chance for some drizzle, maybe even some freezing drizzle coming our way on Wednesday into Wednesday night. Things will warm up slightly on Friday as we get up into around 50, but then a second cold front moving on in for the weekend. It is a City Matters program on AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1. Opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time with City Manager Mike Bailey and members of the staff of the City of Bartlesville. And Mike, you brought a couple of folks along, but we typically start off with some city announcements. What's going on?
Yes, sir. We've got a little bit going on, Charlie, and I think every time I sit down, at least for the last, 4 weeks or so with you,
yeah,
we talk about how that we've either just missed a storm or there's another one on the way, and here you are talking about freezing drizzle again.
We had that little sleet event Saturday morning along, yep, Silver Lake and a few other places.
Yeah, we've had some interesting weather. Thankfully, we have been very fortunate. Our neighbors around us have not always been so fortunate. North and south of us have gotten the worst of it this year. But there's a program that the police department puts into place whenever we believe that we're going to have severe weather.
Mm-hmm.
And it's referred to as Operation Slick Streets.
It's not new, but
that's
we
right.
haven't talked about it a lot.
That's right. It's not new. It's not unique to Bartlesville. This is something that that all police departments do. And essentially what it is when during these events we know that we're going to have a lot of small bumper, small fender bender type car wrecks and things of that nature, and the police simply can't get to all of them. And so what they do is they encourage everybody. There's actually a place that you can go to obtain a set of reports that essentially are just insurance exchange forms is all they are.
Mm-hmm.
So during those events, if we're having those, there's certain criteria. Basically, as long as there's no injury, the driver's not impaired, and the vehicles are not disabled. So those are the three major criteria. But during those events, if you do just have a little fender bender, this is something that is an option out there. In fact, you can there's forms that you can get. They have those available at Quick Trip and OnQ. You can also get it off the City of Bartlesville's website. So those are some things to keep in mind. We at any given time we typically have about 6 police officers that are out patrolling. In the event of slick streets like that, they will be tied up pretty much all the time. So if there's a non-injury accident, we do encourage people to use those. Hopefully we won't have to use that again this year, but the way things have been looking, it's a good possibility we may have that again.
It goes without saying, and I haven't looked at the form recently, but it basically identifies the vehicles involved, the drivers that are involved, where, and I'm guessing a short description of how and what happened.
Yeah, that's basically about it. And it really is just so that your insurance company can look at that and make a decision. Of course, insurance companies, they're good at assigning blame. That's what they're there for, is to argue with each other over who's at fault. But ultimately, it provides them with enough information to make those decisions.
There's an insurance term called subrogation.
Yes, sir.
If you're insured by Company A and Company B is the company for the driver, the other driver, and between the two of them, they decide that the other driver was at fault.
That's right.
Your company will pay you, and then they will go collect from Company B.
Collect on your behalf. That's yeah. exactly it. That way, you're not sitting around waiting for the settlement in order to get your vehicle fixed.
Yeah.
So it's just something I wanted to share. But especially as you had mentioned the freezing drizzle, it was something that came to mind. And as we're talking about the police department, there is a special seatbelt enforcement, and I believe. Now, let me find the date here. I believe it starts today.
Yeah.
So that is something that we want everyone to be aware of. Really, the objective here is to increase awareness for seatbelts, especially for younger people. When you have teenagers and things of that nature that have just started driving, I know I have a 16-year-old daughter. I'd like to believe she wears her seatbelt. Her and all of her friends wear their seatbelt every time they get in the car.
What kind of a world do you live in?
But I said I'd like to believe. Okay. I didn't say I did. But the police will be out. So encourage your teenagers and yourself to always wear your seatbelts when you're in the car. That's one of the things that my son's friends, I think, always hated about me when he was younger, it doesn't seem to be a problem anymore, is that we don't move till everybody's got a seatbelt on. It doesn't matter whether you're wearing football pads and carrying bags, we're not moving till you get them on. So, but the police officers will be out. You have been officially warned now.
Particularly 30 minutes before and 30 minutes after class time.
Yes, sir. That really is the target, is looking for those young and those new drivers. I suspect that they may, if they get my daughter, I'm sure I'll hear about it twice, not just once. But if she's not wearing her seatbelt, I certainly hope that they pull her over and talk to her about it and give her a ticket if necessary. So, but those things will be out. Charlie, and as we're going through this, I wanted to mention that actually all of the stories that we're talking about right now are in Bartlesville City Beat.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a newsletter that the City of Bartlesville issues. It's created by Kelly Williams, of course. She used to be the editor for the Examiner Enterprise before her second career at the city. She's developed this, and this is a great way for us to communicate with our citizens. So I would encourage anybody who has an interest in local news, local government news, to go to cityofbartlesville.org and sign up for that. Some of the other things that are in City Beat, and this was last week, the next issue will be out tomorrow, but last week there was some pictures and some discussion of the demolition that's right across the street from City Hall. It was actually a county project that's now cleaned off. The county at this point in time plans to put some surface level parking in there. They have some bigger plans for that space, but at this point in time, that's all they're doing.
The county has owned that property for 20 years or more, and simply decided to use that space differently, and I believe upkeep on those structures was costing them more than they were worth.
I think that was a big part of it. In talking to Commissioner Dunlap, he was concerned about the condition of the buildings and that he was essentially a landlord for some substandard buildings. And so I think that was a big part of their decision to remove those structures. But that project, that was in the newsletter. There was also a Q&A section because we get a lot of interesting questions. In fact, Lisa Beeman's here, and her department probably gets a majority of the really interesting questions about development that people.
I wouldn't say that her department is questionable. So
never would not say that. But the people are always very curious. You know, they hear rumors about. I hear that Red Lobster is going in, or I hear that Target's going in.
I chased that down 22 years ago.
you keep on chasing, Charlie. It's still out there.
That was before I knew that you never talked about things that you weren't really sure would happen. Now, after having done this for some years, I know that a lot of those really great projects never happen for one reason or another.
That's right.
Then if they don't happen, you're to blame for it.
Yeah. That's
so
right. Somehow, somewhat.
The community development, I'll say the Jim Fram was no longer in town. So
right. There you go.
Yes.
Well, there are a couple of developments that are happening that we have gotten a lot of questions about. One of them was Harbor Freight. Mm-hmm. The question was about it. The Harbor Freight store is actually going into the old Lock Supply store. A lot of people thought it was going into the Eastland Shopping Center where where Hobby Lobby was, but that's actually the Big Lot store that's moving there. So those were a couple of things that were covered as well. And then one of the last things that was in the City Beat was a story about our coupons, and these are our landfill coupons. And so, for residential customers, they will receive a coupon in their utility bill. They can take that to the landfill, and it's good any time before December 31st, 2019, and it allows them one free trip to the dump. This is an effort to try to sort of supplement our existing sanitation system. We have poly carts; they work exceptionally well. It really is a great system. However, it doesn't provide a provision for dumping large objects. So this sort of supplements that. It allows you to take that chicken coop that might have been illegally sitting in your backyard and haul that off to the dump or what have you, whatever you have. But it is subject to the standard rules of the landfill, including the rules about refrigerators and things of that nature. But that will be coming.
You mentioned a second career for Kelly, and I believe that it's actually a third career, if I remember the path correctly. I think she started off
actually,
with the city,
right.
Went to the EE, and now is back with the city.
In fact, Kelly was hired as a police officer at the Bartlesville Police Department. Let me rephrase that. I believe she was in parking enforcement.
She was.
Then she served. Then I think she went to the sheriff's department as a deputy, and I believe she was the first female deputy in Washington County. And then from there, she actually did come back to the city of Bartlesville and served as a police officer until she developed a passion for journalism and made her way over to the Examiner Enterprise. We were very fortunate for a number of years that Kelly was the city's, or she was the Examiner Enterprise, I guess she was their city reporter. Mm-hmm. So she was the one that came to all of our council meetings. So we developed a great
relationship. Somebody that could talk city stuff.
That's right. She was very knowledgeable. And so it's just kind of interesting that she's sort of reprising that role that she was in at that point in time. She answered questions for us back then, and she's still doing it today. She's just doing it as employee of the city now, and we're very lucky to have her. And Charlie, before we get into the meat of the program, there was one thing I did want to mention. A friend of ours, all of us that are in this room, including you, has passed. He passed last week, and this was Mike Hall. And Mike Hall had worked for the city of Bartlesville for almost 20 years. And unfortunately, Mike passed last week. There will be a memorial for him at Adams Golf Course, I believe, on Wednesday. Lisa, did you catch the time?
12 to 3:30.
We believe it's 12 to 3:30. The public is invited. If you knew Mike Hall, we would encourage you to come out and spend a little time celebrating him. His funeral is tomorrow, but his funeral is in Galena, Kansas, at what time is that? 11 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah. So, anyway, I just wanted to take a moment to recognize our friend. We've missed him since he's retired, and I didn't realize how much I was going to miss him till he was completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have one last chance to honor Mr. Mike Hall, and I'm sure all four of us at some point in time have had could tell stories about the arguments that we've had with him.
And some good things about him. He had a very sweet side, if you could find it.
Some of the arguments were,
a good guy.
They were sweet as well.
We miss him.
We do. I truly do miss him. All right, Charlie, with that, I'm gonna turn this over to Lisa and Micah, and they are both going to talk about projects, and Lisa's also going to talk a little bit about City Ride and the new Transportation Committee.
So. Let me start with that. So the Transportation Committee actually met for the first time last week, and it's made up of two council members, which are Trevor Dorsey and Alan Gingis. And then three representatives that were selected by the council, which are Earl Sears, Julie Mercedes, and Sherry Wilt. And so we met last week and talked generally about the role and the responsibilities and duties of the committee itself, but we also spent some time talking about City Ride. So we've had the City Ride program operating in Bartlesville since 2005. That's been on contract with the city, but even years before that, there were several attempts at other types of transportation service programs that were run voluntarily and through other organizations, but we've had City Ride. It is a demand response program. We actually have more demand than we actually can serve because, it's a matter of funding and how much can you pay for. So, but we've consistently always operated that program, and it's increased in ridership, but I would say that it hovers around 30,000 total trips a year, and the percentage of those trips had started out being for work back in the early 2000s, but over time we see that that is becoming more and more the purpose of those trips is for medical, so we do haul an awful lot of people for their medical appointments and to the hospital for treatments. Daily, we carry about 120 people a day on that. And the city portion of it, we pay them to operate a program from us Monday through Friday, 7:30 in the morning to 5:30. You do have to call and schedule your ride. So the sooner you schedule it, the more likely you are that you will be assured of a ride on the date and time you need it. But you can't always call ahead, immediately ahead or an hour ahead. And if we can work you in, then we will do that. Again, it's a demand response. It's kind of like a little mini bus system, I guess, but mm-hmm. on demand. And so you may not get to go from point A to point B exactly because there are other riders on there. So it may be a little bit of a circuitous route, but we do get you where you want to be.
And it came out in the meeting, and I already knew this, but it came out in the meeting that many of the riders on the, their Monday through Friday schedule is they work the same hours, so they kind of put in their reservation a week or two at a time.
And same way with people who know they have doctor's appointments, or we haul a lot of people to dialysis. So they kind of know those, and we encourage people to call ahead. It really is a wonderful program. The city benefits from the fact that our provider, which is Cimarron Public Transit, they have other layers of funding, federal funding, that they can bring to the table to help make our $45,000 stretch and actually provide the service that we demand or that we offer.
Well, I think that's a good point in that if we were to operate this ourselves, then we would have local funding.
Mm-hmm.
But by contracting with them, because they are a large provider and they take advantage of the federal and state grant funds, we're able to leverage our money and actually get a better program.
Way better.
Than we could if we did it ourselves. And the term demand response, Lisa, is essentially that means that we don't go, our city ride doesn't go unless they're called.
Right, that's right.
So that's what you were referring to, is that people are required to schedule it. It's a little bit different than a bus system in that you have to plan ahead.
Right.
However, there are some advantages to it in that they pick up near your house or at your house.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that based on a schedule that you set. So rather than having to rely on, every once an hour or once every 30 minutes. Now, this is something that comes to you.
To your door.
It's similar to a taxi, except that it might not be a direct route.
That's
it's more like getting picked up by a shuttle at an airport to take to a hotel. You're going to stop at a few other hotels along the way.
Exactly. And so, under our contract with them, they only have to operate 7:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and offer two vehicles. But because they're able to layer all this other funding, they have extended hours of operation to serve other clients who also pay and contract with them and have consequently more buses or more vehicles in town to provide that service. So it's been a really good deal. Not to say that it meets 100% of the needs of everyone in town, but our goal is that we meet the needs, try to as best we can to meet the needs of those who need to ride it, with an emphasis on providing service for elderly transportation, which was where it actually started.
Right.
This is somewhat of a fee-based. It's not really free to the riders per se, and I, you may not have wanted to bring this up,
but I thought it was
important that there are some discount cards, for lack of a better term, that local nonprofits or organizations can buy to help defray riders for fees for their employees, for church members, whatever.
Yeah, and we encourage people to do that. Our contract with them says has to be a $3 ride anywhere in town. A one-way ride costs $3. Now, they have some separate programs because they get other funding that maybe it's a $2 ride if you're going to work. But a lot of that federal funding is drying up. It was called Road to Work, I think. So some of that money's drying up. But again, as you said, Charlie, churches and nonprofits and doctors and whoever feel like employers who feel that their people need a ride can buy these coupon cards directly, and you can call... I wish I had the number right in front of me, but you can call the city ride offices and get the information on buying those cards or scheduling a ride. And I wish I had it right in front of me, but I don't right now.
We'll look it up and we'll have it before the end.
Lisa's number is available on the city website. You can call her and she'll have that number for you.
That's right.
Thank you.
I like the way you think, Charlie.
That's right. So the other thing I wanted to talk
briefly. I like to volunteer Lisa when I can.
Call me. I'll try to answer. The other thing I want to talk about was the park projects that we have underway and planning. So in 2018, we, as citizens, were very, very lucky. Oh, City Ride is 918-336-2233.
There we go.
I should remember that after all these
years. These phones are pretty powerful, aren't they?
They are. But in 2018, the voters did, I think, something was unprecedented that we hadn't seen before in CIP elections or geo bond elections, which was to allocate at least half the funding in that election went to make improvements to playgrounds and parks in the city of Bartlesville. So I want to kind of give you an update on where we are with that, because We've spent some time doing some planning, and I think it's resulting in you're seeing things in the field now. So at Daniels Fields, which is at Lee Lake, they're the two big soccer fields that also serve as one cricket field. You've seen the project has begun to put the lights on that. And so it's being done by Geosport Lighting. It was a $258,000 project and should be complete by the end of March. So we're very excited that will actually make those the first lighted soccer fields in Bartlesville, but also the first lighted cricket field anywhere in Oklahoma. So
pretty
excited about that.
Yeah.
Tower Center at Unity Square, which is our big project down by the Price Tower in the community center. We're actually working on plans, and those are now 90% complete. The council will be taking several items in the next month to start putting those plans out for bid, and we'll try to get that out to construction as soon as possible. Price Fields renovation. This is the phase three renovation that Micah and I are working on. This is actually the middle reconstruction of the middle section. So if you've been up there, you know we've done the northern two quads. Those look really great. And now we are have construction plans that are underway by Planning Design Group in Tulsa. Those plans are 20% complete, but we do expect that the project will be let for bid in June of this year, and that the construction should take approximately 12 months. That's actually about a $3.3 million project, so it'll be very nice to see that middle section complete and some additional parking.
So what season do we expect that those will be open for?
Would be...
What season do we hope?
All of next year.
Exactly. We'd like to start construction basically once this next spring season ends. So likely they'll have to go without a fall season this coming fall, 2019 fall. And then would be nice if we could get some of it open back up by next spring's, the 2020 spring season. It's a little bit larger project than we've done on some of the other ones.
Yes, yes.
There's a little bit more involved. So hopefully we can at least get the fields to that point and then maybe clean up some of the concessions and restrooms and some of that kind of on the back end. So hopefully they'll be playing again by spring 2020.
Fall 2020.
We do expect that the fall season,
is that fall 2019, middle section of Price Fields will be unavailable.
That's correct. Okay. That's correct.
Okay. So the leagues will have to schedule around that, of course.
And right.
While it's inconvenient, this project is pretty fantastic.
And it really is.
There's simply no way to avoid it. The scope of this is too much.
Concession stands and batting cages, all the amenities.
Additional parking.
Right, a lot of additional parking. So it's going to be
very
much
excited
needed.
About it.
And this is really kind of the last group of those fields that have just been there forever.
Yes,
I mean,
they have.
You know, I'm 4 years old now, and I played ball on when I was a kid.
I played on them, and that's the same fence that was there when.
Yep.
Yeah, that would have been 34 years ago, probably the last time I played on one of them.
Had a bunch of dads, did a good job of making it.
They worked very hard.
Definitely was aged.
They were due for an update.
Yeah.
So now you've predicted, and everybody's going to hold you to that.
Gosh.
And I know you really were looking forward to asking you that question.
Fall of 2020.
But we will certainly have it open by fall of 2020,
yeah,
and we hope to have some functionality available in the spring of 2020.
I would like to point out Civitan Park has a new pavilion. It's a 20 by 44. It was built by Urban House, which is a local contractor. The funny thing about that, I guess, and it was an education to me, but thanks to the Bartlesville Uptown Civitan Club, they purchased and donated the shelter, which cost $29,000. They did that at their own cost, but then when we went to put it up, the installation was equal or more than the cost of the shelter, but Urban House was very, very generous in their subcontractors, and they did it for a much lower price, donating some of their time and materials, so the construction was actually $30,000, and the Bartlesville Uptown Civitan Club then also contributed $10,000, so the city's cost for that whole project was only $20,000. And so kudos. I've always had great respect for the Bartlesville Uptown Civitan Club.
Yes, we have.
They are a great partner with the city on projects, and they take great pride in the Civitan Park, which I should say is also known as the Dinosaur Park.
And frankly, without the Civitans, that park would not exist today.
No, it would not. They were the ones who got the grant funding for it and have always been very generous with making improvements to it and keeping it up. I do want to say, though, that because of their contributions, we are going to be putting another park, a pavilion or a shelter, I guess I should say, at Sooner Park. We'll let that project hopefully for bid in March and construction of that in 2019. We're going to do some upgrades to the Robin Wood Park restroom that's out there now. City crews are going to do that. I will let Micah talk briefly about some of the really good things that are going on in Johnstone Park with the kiddie park improvements and the parking lot that's being constructed now and some of the road rehab.
Hey, you're doing just fine.
Now you go ahead and
you're doing good.
I would hate for you to come and not talk.
Well, I'll talk just a little bit. I predicted some things on Price Fields that I'd like to take back.
Too late.
Okay, we do have a couple projects in Johnstone Park. You've probably seen some construction if you've been around there lately. We've got a parking lot that's going on right now, which is our latest, I guess, community development block grant project we've got going right now. And so that'll be about 30 parking spaces just south of the kiddie park there. Used to be the Art Center building was in that location. City crews took that down. And then now we're going back in with the parking lot if we can get some weather to cooperate with us. We should have that hopefully done here in the next few weeks, again, if we can get some good weather. So we've got that one going on. And then in conjunction with that, we do have the kiddie park fence and entry remodel project that also includes the Pathfinder extension and reworking the road into Johnstone Park as well. So we've got that project. Actually, we've awarded bids on that. We've got a contractor up and ready, and actually I think their official start date is supposed to be today. Now, whether they can get in there today or not, we'll see. But they are planning on doing a decorative fence on what's called the east half of the kiddie park. So it'll be kind of an 8-foot tall wrought iron fence. And then we'll have a nice lighted entry, yeah. A decorative entry that comes into the park there at the existing location of the entrance. And then basically to improve the safety through that area, we're going to mill and overlay the road going into Johnstone Park, essentially to where it Y's there where the old cannon used to sit. Not sure where
Which
that cannon is, by the way.
No, it's now back on site. So several people noticed that the cannon at Johnstone Park was gone. But it was taken to the park department, and there was some of the wood that was rotted on it badly. It's now been repaired, and it looks fantastic, and it's back in the park.
Okay. I received pictures. Of the cannon as it was being transported through downtown Bartlesville. People were wondering if we were invading Dewey, in fact, I think was the conversation at that time.
Cannonball's there, so we didn't have any ammo
We were in a lot of trouble.
we were going to be in a bind. So we are going to rework that street. There's going to be a one-way street through the kiddie park area to try and improve safety. And then we'll extend Pathfinder from the trailhead right there by the 123 bridge, and we'll extend that into the park and connect with the trail system in the park. So that's the game plan for that project. Again, it should officially start, I think, today was the date we'd put on that contractor, because all this really needs to be done by the time that the kiddie park opens back up in May. So
got a lot of work ahead of us.
Hopefully we can get that weather to cooperate, dry out a little bit, and should be in good shape if all that goes well.
But it really is a very exciting project.
It is. That area, that area's a gem, and we need to take care of it, upgrade it, and I think we're going to get there. So with that, I think Mike's saying I got about a minute left here, so we got one other project getting ready to start, and that's the golf course bunker project. If we stay along the theme of parks projects, so we've got a good project there to replace the sand and the sub-drain systems in those bunkers. It's going to have some nice decorative white sands. It's going to look like that stuff out there at Pebble Beach or something like that, I guess.
And we definitely will have a very unique look to our bunkers. And that, and the white sand is due to a donation.
That's correct.
The city had a GO bond, and in that we had included funding to replace the bunkers with just the typical yellow sand.
Sure.
But there was a fundraising effort by Mr. Jerry Benedict. It was extremely successful, and so now Adams Golf Course will have a beautiful white sand bunkers.
And the contractor donated the additional funds for the nicer liners to make that happen as well, so we appreciate that.
We're very thankful to everybody that was involved in that project.
So
Charlie, I believe we're about out of time
we
here.
We are.
But we appreciate, as always, the opportunity to come in.
No council meeting tonight,
No council meeting tonight. We will have one next Monday.
As per the charter.
As per the charter, yes, sir.
That's a City Matters program on 1400 K1.
Insure your home, car, boat, health, life, and business all at one place. Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460, KWON Bartlesville, K227-CQ Bartlesville.